app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Nate Wuggehell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man from Sparta faces criminal charges accused of taking part in the January 6th riot. Charles Walters was arrested yesterday and made his initial appearance in federal court in Madison. Federal prosecutors say Walters was caught on video destroying some fencing, climbing onto the inaugural stage risers, and going inside the Capitol wearing a helmet and ballistic-style vest. A soldier from Wisconsin is back in the U.S. after weeks in North Korean custody. Terry Bell reports.
Private Travis King spoke with his mother soon after he was released. Jonathan Franks is the spokesperson for King's family.
She's overjoyed. She got to hear her son's voice, and she was thrilled.
King is at a military base in Texas and likely faces disciplinary action. General Robert Abrams is the former commander of U.S. forces in the Korean Peninsula. He spoke with ABC News.
I think the most likely option is Private Travis King will be administratively discharged from the Army.
The Pentagon says the U.S. made no deals with North Korea for King's return. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is declining to hear a lawsuit to ban the state assembly from impeaching any Wisconsin justice, Pete Schwaba reports.
Two supporters of Justice Janet Protasiewicz brought the suit. Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says lawmakers may consider impeaching the new liberal justice if she hears two redistricting cases the court may take up. Many Republicans object to Protasiewicz calling the state's political maps rigged. WisPolitics reports the lawsuit was brought out of concern that impeachment is imminent. Justices did not comment on their decision, and Protasiewicz did not participate. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
St. Nora College in De Pere is laying off 41 employees due to budget cuts. The Green Bay Press-Gazette reports 29 people are being let go right away. The college will cut another 12 positions in the months to come. A spokesperson says about two-thirds of St. Norbert's costs come from personnel and that workforce cuts were unavoidable. Officials with the State Department of Natural Resources are reminding hunters to be on the lookout for chronic wasting disease ahead of the deer hunting season. CWD is a fatal disease that targets the brain and spinal cord in the animals. Deer herd health specialist Aaron Larson says that CWD has affected 62 counties across the state.
In recent years, we have unfortunately seen the disease introduced in some new isolated areas of the state, particularly in isolated parts of northern Wisconsin.
DNR officials urge hunters not to bait deer and to remove any carcass waste to landfills to avoid the spread of the disease. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Nate Wuggehell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Altoona City Council will vote today on giving a liquor license to a proposed social club. As Modicum Brewing prepares to move, a new business called Bonds would take over the Modicum location. Bonds would serve as a cafe during the day, then reopen as a speakeasy-style bar at night, and could feature live entertainment. If the City Council approves the liquor license, Bonds could open as soon as November 1st. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services Secretary nominee Kirsten Johnson says the state made a number of mistakes in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. At a hearing during her confirmation process to the position, Johnson cited a lack of knowledge about COVID-19 as a reason the mistakes were made in the early days. She also stated that she does not support vaccine mandates or mask requirements, but says she still highly recommends vulnerable people get vaccinated and wear masks at their discretion. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers were down 2-0 against the St. Louis Cardinals when Milwaukee's Tyrone Taylor came to the plate in the sixth inning. Brian Anderson on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
That ball is fair, right over the bag, down into the corner it goes. It hits the sidewall. Contreras will score easily, and Tyrone Taylor trades places with him. And now Taylor on his way to third as the throw gets by. RBI double for Taylor, moving to third on an error.
The final, the Brewers 3, St. Louis 2. Tyrone Taylor on getting the win over the Cardinals after celebrating clinching the divisional title with champagne and goggles the night before.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. The first couple innings, I was sweating out all the toxins from the celebration from last night. So, yeah, it was a good win today, and hopefully we keep it rolling going into the playoffs.
Taylor with two doubles, one run scored, and two runs batted in. Lefty Wade Miley pitched five innings. Miley signed with Milwaukee as a free agent last January. Craig Counsell.
You sign Wade, and I think we know that it's not going to be a 170-inning season. It's really the quality that he delivered more than as much as anything. I mean, he just pitched very, very well.
NBA, we told you about that huge trade involving three teams and eight players, including the Bucks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Portland Trail Blazers. The bottom line is the Bucks send Drew Holiday to Portland and Grayson Allen to Phoenix so they could bring point guard Damian Lillard from the Trail Blazers to the Bucks to honor a request by Giannis. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski.
This is an organization that made the Drew Holiday trade a few years ago to pair with Giannis Antetokounmpo, won a title, and now they may have very well have extended their window with Giannis by bringing in Damian Lillard, a player that Giannis was determined to play with. Lillard, as he goes back to the Bucks, he'll be reunited with his former head coach in Portland, Terry Stotts, who is now an assistant coach on new coach Adrian Griffin's staff in Milwaukee.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road in Milwaukee, sliding into a happy Oktoberfest happy hour at the Bavarian Beer Haas. And Dom, it gets happier up in here because we've been joined by a fine guest at the table. He is WAUK Civic Media's own Earl Ingram, friend of ours, colleague in broadcast excellence. Welcome back to the show, Earl. How you doing, fella?
Hey, man. All is well.
All right, man. Good to see you, Earl.
I know it's a little hard to understand this concept that Oktoberfest actually begins in September.
Yeah.
It was confusing in lacrosse, too. Like, when's Oktoberfest? Well, September, of course.
The entire month of September?
Well, it starts tomorrow.
Oh, that starts tomorrow.
Dom and I are getting on the road in the morning. We're going up to Oktoberfest, where we went to college in lacrosse, Earl.
That must be a pretty big event. In lacrosse.
Oh, yeah. Especially when we get there. Yeah.
They tap the golden keg around noon tomorrow. Hope to be there to get a little heady beer, kind of like the one they handed you.
Hey, man, this is really kind of a nice spot.
Great facility, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And Kirk and the gang here allowing us to come to the Bavarian Beer Haas, a little politics, and then Packers and Earl. You can hear the Packers right here in Milwaukee on 1400 AM WRJN, the very same station that you play out in mornings for Civic Media.
Yeah, man. You know, it's what do you say about the Packers? Yeah, we'll find out tonight.
Oh, you know it, man.
Yeah.
You guys are – I forget that you and Dom are both Detroit guys. And it's funny because you've got a very good relationship with Gilbert Brown. You do – Monday mornings under the helmet with the grave digger, Gilbert Brown, and Earl Ingram on your show, Mondays 8 to 9. And he lives in Detroit, but is a former Packer. And you love Detroit, and so does Dom, and you're both wrong.
So you know, the Packers have been, you know, what we thought they were going to be. They're exciting. They clearly are exciting. They've got a lot of great athletes. And I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. And they're going to be a really good 8-9 team.
Well, if that is the case, Detroit will be looking up them 6-6 and
whatever. Well, see,
but here's the thing.
6-11.
You can't live on 17 you know, teams now. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.
No.
You know
tell that to the Chicago Bears.
It's a whole new world, and there's a lot of injuries. We had Mike Clemens on last hour, Earl, and the Packers, they're home underdogs against Detroit. And I cannot remember for the life of me, and I've been to a few Packer-Lions games in Lambeau Field, whenever the Packers were underdogs at home with Detroit coming in. I don't ever remember that happening, ever.
Well, Detroit
sounds like easy money to me.
Believe it or not, Detroit won 7 of the last 12 games against the Packers. So this
I don't
is
believe
not,
it.
Look it up. Look it up.
I trust you, Earl.
So this is not the old Detroit Lions, the Detroit Lions of old. That coach that they have is a tough hombre, man, mm-hmm. and he motivates the players, and he's a tough guy, and he's got his players playing tough. They're physical, and so, you know, the Packers are physical. It's going to be a great game.
When's the last time you spoke with the Gravedigger? Was it Monday?
It was Monday.
And what do you think looking forward to this? Well, jump up on you Thursday night, broadcasting on Prime. A lot of people are going to be disappointed when they can't watch it on their TV, so they're going to turn on the radio like WRJN here in the Milwaukee market.
You know, man, that's just amazing to me that they can't get the games in the state, man.
Well, you can watch the Packers on local TV here in Milwaukee.
I know, but
and you can do it in Green Bay. But, like, if you live in Madison, I'm not clear that you get the Packer game tonight short of buying a paid subscription to
Amazon
Prime. Yeah. The Badgers next Saturday, they've got a bye week, October 7th. Their game's only on Peacock. Can't watch it on Big Ten, ESPN, whatever, but you can hear it on the stream through Civic Media. Also, try WRJN, our sports flagship, Earl.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it's going to be a great game. I'm excited about it. It's a Thursday night game that's finally going to be a game worth watching, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, because I get up so early in the morning, I normally would not be watching the Thursday
night
game.
Well, the Lions, I mean, they beat Kansas City,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
They came out and beat the Super Bowl champions on the first game of the season, man. That was also a Thursday.
They are the real deal.
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry if we offend some.
No, I'm not.
Packer
no, fans. Come but, on. That just makes but, for the fun, man. That's
know,
what it's all about.
But man, this is not Aaron Rodgers.
Trash talk now. Okay. Kick off 7:15, boys. I'll take all your trash talk now. Bring it.
It's going to be an exciting game, and so that's the good thing—a Thursday night game that matters 4 games into the season. Normally, that doesn't. A game 4 games into the season is not a big game.
Well, it's for first place in the NFC North because, I mean, literally Chicago
and the Vikes are
effectively out of it at 0-3. So, yeah, man, this is an early test for both teams.
Can you imagine you practice all that time, you do all this, and 3 games into the season – you're already out of it. Man, you still have 14 games.
Oh, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time.
Aaron Rodgers would take 3 games. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. We're live at the Bavarian Beer Haus right here in Glendale, Wisconsin. Now, Glendale, I'm not clear what distinguishes. I'll ask Mayor Brian Kenny a little bit from now, where does Glendale end? And Dom lives in Whitefish Bay, which is like about a mile over there, but that apparently a whole different community, Earl. But tell me, this is all greater Milwaukee County. This is the greater Milwaukee community, but Milwaukee is really a lot of little towns kind of all jammed together in one big metropolitan. People outstate may not know that, but this is a very neighborhood-oriented city, is it not, Earl?
Well, you know, most of these suburbs grew out of Milwaukee, and they really expanded with industry, believe it or not. Back in those 70s and 60s, when people worked in all the industry that was here, they made enough money to expand those suburbs. And so average everyday Joes made enough money to move into Whitefish Bay and Glendale and expand these areas. It's probably changed since those 60s and 70s of people who began to expand them when the average everyday Joe. But now, you know, they've grown to people who live in those communities are pretty well healed. And so it's
once upon a time, not everyone would have been welcomed in every subdivision here in the city of Milwaukee. There's some redlining very segregated.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. Yeah. I mean, once upon a time like today. I mean, today's once upon a time.
Yeah. It hasn't really changed much, Crudy.
I have heard Milwaukee described as the most segregated city north of the Mason-Dixon line. I don't live here, Earl. I come to visit.
Right.
I like being here, but I don't live here. What's it like being here? Living here.
Well, I mean, I love it. I love it because this is my home. This is where I'm going to die. I've seen the changes in it, many of them not good. But my thing is I'm going to fight it as long as I'm here. If people leave, they have a right to leave. But I'm one of those people who love my city and going to work like the Dickens to do what I can in the time I have left. To make it better, because once upon a time, it was one of the most beautiful places in the nation to live.
You know, Earl, we've got a mutual colleague on the line. She wants to say hi, apparently, to you, doesn't call us. She is Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Apparently, say hi to Earl.
Hey, Maggie.
What's going on down the Resistance?
Hey, Earl. Well, three of the most handsomest, most charming radio personalities were on the air. I had to call and say hello. And I always love listening to Earl talk about Milwaukee because he makes me well up with pride. I love this place, too. This is where I was born and raised. This is where I'm going to die. And there's so much good here, and it starts with the people. And Earl is such a great example of that. So my love to you, my brother, and you guys have fun on the air. Thanks for picking up my call.
Well,
always.
In.
Thank you.
Hey, let me ask you a quick sports one, Earl. Obviously, we're buttoned up. We got a Brewer game going on, preempting the greatest radio show ever, some say. Not you, maybe, but some of us do.
Come on, man.
We're being preempted by the Brewers. I think they're up 3-0 right now against the Cardinals. And, of course, we got a little football going off later, but let's talk about the Brewers and the stadium issue. And Robin Voss is really trying to stick it to the city of Milwaukee and effectively says, you know, Milwaukee's the only one garnering any benefits, so you eat all the new expense, effectively, of keeping them in town for the next 25 years.
Is it a surprise that Robin Voss has ulterior motives in what he does when it comes to Milwaukee? Number one, Waukesha is not being asked to pay part of the freight, and many other cities aren't being asked to pay part of the freight. If you ever go to the Brewer games, I don't think there are a whole lot of Milwaukee people there. They're from basically all over the state.
And yeah, like 60% of the fan base is from outside of the
area.
Well,
yes. Yeah. When you go and see –
Well, look at all those taxes you get from us. But actually, that's not true because there's not – an additional sales tax being charged to Brewers fans. At least not my understanding. There might be with this new taxation being rolled out, Earl.
Well, I'm just saying, man, that, you know, I like the Brewers, but based on the things that Robin Voss has done to punish Milwaukee, it's kind of hard, man, to say I accept what Robin Voss is trying to sell. And Bruce Murphy pointed it out perfectly.
That urban Milwaukee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent article yesterday. Effectively, Bruce Murphy wrote there's no net economic gain to the city of Milwaukee, but we here at Civic Media sure do like the Milwaukee Brewers. They're playing on WISS right now. Playoffs start on Tuesday. Brewers going to the wild card. We're coming back with our friend Earl Ingram live on the road, Glendale from the Bavarian Beer House. Happy Oktoberfest.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 50s. More sunshine than clouds for tomorrow and warming up to the upper 70s for the high as the wind picks up. We climb into the low 80s Saturday, slight chance of showers and storms, more sun and mid-80s and breezy Sunday. Currently, it's 66.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but
in
funny
some
is
some of my
funny.
Songs I have casually mentioned.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Earl Ingram Jr., our friend, host of the Earl Ingram Jr. Show here on Civic Media in the mornings. You get up early, Earl, so we don't have to. We appreciate that. We got some callers holding 844-967-2789. But I want to get a quick little your political take. This debate last night, Earl, there's a bunch of Republicans who think that they should be the president. I want to know your thoughts, sir.
Look, man, here's what I don't understand. If I'm running against a guy and I really want to win, I really want to be the president of the United States, why am I holding back for a guy who wants to take my head off?
Right. Yeah.
So what I do understand it, because they really aren't running to become president of the United States. They're really running for their egos, and hopefully – the guy who's
job
going to be
on
the
Fox
president
News,
will give them, yeah.
Write
yeah.
a book, get paid.
Yeah.
There's no one on that stage of consequence that I think, Earl, at least in my humble opinion, you know how humble I am, no one is going to be the president, not in this cycle, because they can't beat Trump.
No.
And I don't understand that, Earl, but they have embraced this man, and the more times he gets indicted, the more they love him. At some point, this has to be a house of cards. At some point, there's going to be trials and convictions. Earl, then what happens?
You know, I talk about it every morning, man. I try to stay away. But how can you can you stay away?
Yeah.
And I said to my audience the other day, I said, how is it possible that with all the things that are going on and nothing more important than this right around the corner, you always hear people say, well, this is the most important election in the history of the nation. We're getting close to that, because the fact that people are going to support this man regardless of anything that he's done and continues to do, and throw all of that away, but Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, hey, come on, man. Come on.
Do you see that Paul Ryan came to campus and
called
Trump a loser, doesn't say it much publicly, but said it the other night, and said, you know, he's a loser because we lose. And then he went through all the elective cycles, and sure enough, Republicans do lose, but they fear the man. They fear his base. Look at Robin Voss. Robin Voss never believed an election was stolen, but look at all the things he's done, the hiring of Gableman, the empowering of Janelle Branch, and now he's got Knodel over in the Senate. You know, I mean, this is only empowered because a guy like Robin Voss, who doesn't really believe, in my heart of hearts, I know that he's smart enough. He knows it wasn't a rigged election, but he's afraid of the base. When Trump said, jump, he got on an airplane to Alabama?
I don't know about afraid of the base. I think something like that's a political calculation, Earl. You know, he knows what he's doing. I don't know. If, afraid of the base of the word. They're going to come and hang.
Adam
Mike Pence are coming
Adam
hang.
Steen.
They're going to come and hang. Robin Voss.
Steen.
Oh, come on.
So what does this say about the base that sees a man who is as corrupt? And so if at any other time in the history of this nation, a person running for any office – it was accused of doing what the Trump family just did.
Which time?
It would be,
one?
But this one, overvaluing all of those properties,
right. Yeah.
That would be the kiss of death. That would be the end of their running. It would end right there, Democrat or Republican. So why not? Why has it not happened to him?
Well, he's above that. Decide his nickname was? His mafia nickname? Sleazy Don. Greasy Don. Slippery Don. The Teflon Don?
Until they're not. 844-967-2789. Earl Ingram joining us. Got a couple of callers on the line. Let's get to him. Charles from Green Bay. Welcome, Charles. What do you got for us?
Hey, Charles.
Well, first of all, Earl, it's good to hear you in the afternoon. I listen to you in the morning, and we've talked before.
Yes, sir.
And the only thing that I got to say is this. If I was Disney, I would be upset that someone called Don Trump Donald Duck, because that's an embarrassment to the poor duck. Donald Duck's got, you know, dignity. He's got Daisy. He doesn't have Melania. He doesn't have three wives. He doesn't have how many kids with how many different women, and we're not counting the ones that we don't count.
Well, I mean, where did those little ducklings come from? Are those Huey, Dewey, and Louie? How do we know they're not Donalds?
Well, the problem is we don't. But the fact of the matter is Donald Duck has dignity. Donald Trump does not.
Yes. Amen, Charles.
Here,
well done.
Here, although, you know, I hate to be disagreeable to our audience. Here's where that analogy breaks down. Donald Duck wears no pants. It's hard to call a man dignified who walks around bare-ass. Right, Dom?
Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Cindy.
Hello. Well, I don't understand why people are afraid of Trump, because I have always found out that if someone is a bully and they bully you and smack you, and if you smack them back, guess what? They go away.
But, Cindy, there's been real violence perpetrated in the name of Trump and incited by Trump. And there's been racial violence. There's been political violence. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi's husband. The guy was almost beat to death. And they were really targeting her.
Threats to his general.
To his general, right.
Yes.
But here's the thing, and thank you for the call, Cindy. You only got about a minute left here, yeah. Earl. We criticize this former president all the time. I don't feel...
No, threatened.
In danger or threatened. I mean, this is what we
Tom's
do.
Tom's always been a little foolhardy.
Well, but truth is truth.
Right.
And if you're afraid to speak the truth, man, I don't know how you compromise what's right because of fear. And especially living in this nation, you shouldn't allow that to happen. And the more people are willing to do that, the more this continues to move forward.
A few more beers, we'll be speaking lots of truth. Here at Oktoberfest, Earl Ingram Jr., if you haven't heard the show, you better get up in the morning, 8 to 10, with Earl Ingram on WAUK WRJN, our sports flagship. They got the Packers later, and also on WGBW. Tune in, especially on Monday mornings when he hosts Gilbert Brown. They do Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. And Gilbert's a hell of a fun guy. I can't wait to hear Gilbert's take on this Packer glorious victory over Detroit tonight. Go Packers!
Hey, man, we got to do this a little more.
You know it, man. Thank you. Right. Good to see you, brother.
Meow!
All right.
Meow. Come back. Brian Kennedy, he is the mayor of Glendale.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin's calling a House impeachment inquiry against President Biden and his family's business dealings pure fiction.
The committee has received 12,000 pages of bank records. Here they are, right in front of us, printed double-sided. And not a single page shows a dime going to President Joe Biden.
A legal expert for the GOP says there's merit to impeachment, but not enough evidence. Police are cracking down on looters targeting retail stores in Philadelphia. Police Commissioner John Stanford.
Philadelphia is not going to be the place that you can come and do this type of behavior.
More than 50 people were arrested Tuesday. Six more got caught last night. Delta admits it went too far with proposed changes to its frequent flyer program. CBS's Peter Greenberg.
The outrage was so fast and so furious, and the airline has to start walking some of that back.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire County residents will be able to dispose of their bulk items next week from October 2nd to October 6th. Residents can put one bulk item like furniture or a mattress on the curb during their normal pickup day. All items must be left at the curb by 5 a.m. the day of trash pickup, as a separate truck will be taking those items. Things like electronics, household hazardous waste, concrete, and appliances will not be collected. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding deer hunters to test their deer for chronic wasting disease before eating venison. Chronic wasting disease has already been found in the northwest Wisconsin area, with new baiting and feeding policies going into effect to combat it in a number of counties. Hunters can use self-service kiosks, in-person businesses, at-home lymph node sampling, and appointments with DNR staff to test for chronic wasting disease. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road again. We are in Glendale, Wisconsin at the Bavarian Beer Haas. Thank you to our most recent guest, Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. Tune in mornings across the Civic Media Network, especially WRJN, WGBW, and of course, the Shaw, Kakaw, the Shaw, 540 AM right here in Milwaukee. And Dom, we have been joined here at the table at the Beer Haas by Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale, Wisconsin, a friend of ours. Brian, welcome back to the Devil's
Hey, Advocates, Brian, man. Welcome. You're bringing us the key to the city, man?
Sure.
How about the Stein to Oktoberfest?
Yes. That's right, yeah. Well, we got our steins of beer here.
There so we go, set. Absolutely.
Cheers, Mayor.
Happy Cheers. Oktoberfest, man.
Yeah, prost.
So when did I enter into Glendale? Because, you know, Dom lives over there, and that's like, what, Whitefish Bay?
Well, it's always a border. There's, you know, there's got to be a delineation somewhere.
What am I missing? When did I get into Glendale?
Well, if you're coming from the Madison area.
I came 43 North.
Once you cross Capitol Drive, you're in Glendale.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm in Glendale. I'm at the Beer House, the Bavarian Beer House. And now you mentioned, I asked, do you have any big construction projects, any development going on here in Glendale currently? And you said, do we? Every road under construction in this town. What's going on, Brian?
We are just the picture of what happens when the federal government gives you money through ARPA and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. We've got state projects, MMSD, the school district. We're building a new fire station. I mean, you name it. It seems like there's an orange barrel on about every road. As a matter of fact, we paused all of the city projects this year because we didn't want to add any more orange barrels to the road that are already there.
Orange barrel fatigue. Scott Walker would tell you. Yeah. The people got so sick of it. Although he never fixed any roads, as near as I could tell.
No. He never completed any roads. As a matter of fact, the I-43 expansion, that was put on hold every single budget by Scott Walker. And then Tony Evers finally funded getting it done.
Well, that's good. Because I hate getting stuck in traffic.
That's right.
Tell me what makes Glendale special. Why Glendale? Why should people live here, do commerce here, drink beer here?
So, actually, my plug for Glendale is really sort of a plug for the North Shore. We have seven communities in the North Shore, 68,000 people. Glendale's the only city. The rest are all residential villages. So, really, Glendale
looking down your nose at the villages, are you, Brian?
No, Glendale's the economic engine of the North Shore. Yeah. So, if you live in any one of these villages around us, you're getting your car serviced here. You're going to the mall here. You're going to doctor's appointments here. You're going to the bank here. Basically, anything you're doing, you're coming here. We've got the grocery stores. We've got, I mean, you name it, it's in Glendale if you're living in the North Shore. So we really are the economic engine, and that's why we work really hard to make sure our business community is happy here, because they're paying a big chunk of the bills for us.
Brian, is this a growing tax base? Have you seen influx of business? And if so, what sort of businesses are helping to grow Glendale into this century and the next?
We've seen about $200 million in net new construction in the time I've been mayor.
Wow.
The biggest chunk of that.
How long have you been mayor, man? Not that I'm going to do the math.
2015.
Okay.
So 9 years, we've had pretty steady growth every year. As a matter of fact, our tax rate.
That's still over $20 million per annum in investment, if my simple math makes sense, sir.
Yes, yes. I mean, and so there's just a lot of building. I'd say the biggest chunk of that building is at Bayshore, where Bayshore's undergone a complete renaissance. I mean, if you went to Bayshore 10 years ago and you go to Bayshore now, it doesn't look anything like it did. It's now got, about 700 or 800 apartments between all the new buildings that are there, a whole bunch of new stores. There's a completely new town center. I mean, everything about Bayshore is different than it used to be, and it's really made a spectacular comeback. And then after that, I mean, we've had, as I mentioned, the car dealerships, the banks, the dentists. You start adding all those things up, you know. When people complain to me about, why'd you approve another car dealership? I'm like, well, that $10 million car dealership pays the same amount in taxes as 40 $250,000 homes.
Yeah.
And so about half of our revenue comes from non-residential property taxpayers. So we've worked really hard to build the business base in Glendale because they're paying half the bills. It makes it a lot easier on homeowners when businesses are paying half the bills.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, live on the road, partying in Glendale at the Bavarian Beer Haas. We got the mayor of Glendale. He's our friend, Brian Kennedy. Brian, ballpark politics. Do they affect Glendale at all? I know the city of Milwaukee, the county of Milwaukee, may be on the hook for this stadium. Glendale's a little farther north, and they didn't build the stadium downtown. They left it out where County Stadium used to be. Any local politics involved in the stadium?
From our perspective, not really. I mean, obviously, when Miller Park was built, everybody paid a sales tax to help fund it. So, I mean, if they impose something like that as a means of
like a five county sales tax,
yep.
But now the proposal is that it wouldn't be five counties, right? They're not asking
just Milwaukee, just the city,
I mean, if they include Milwaukee County, then yeah, as anytime we're spending any money here, we'll be paying for it.
And what are your thoughts on it? I mean, as the deals that we've, as the reporting is with the proposals as they stand, what's your personal thought on it?
Well, my personal thought on it is that across the country, we have developed a system in which public financing is required for every single major sports or entertainment venue. And there's not a city or a metropolitan area where the people aren't paying for some of it. Ideally, I would say, you know, these sports teams would pay for their own homes. But if we're the first one to do it, then we're going to lose the sports team. So because now everywhere you go in the country, they're paid for with at least a chunk of it with public dollars. So I think, you know, eventually public dollars are going to be used for AmFam Field.
How much of the identity of Milwaukee, obviously Glendale separate from Milwaukee, but still.
Milwaukee County, man, come on. It's all the same. You're 5 minutes from downtown.
As an identity? How important is a major league franchise like the Milwaukee Brewers or the Milwaukee Bucks to the identity of Milwaukee, to your opinion, Brian?
I would say they're actually crucial to the identity of the state. It doesn't matter where you go in the state. I mean, everybody here is a Packers fan, and I don't live in Green Bay. I live an hour and a half from Green Bay. You know, we're all Bucks fans. We're all Badgers fans, and I don't live in Madison. I think it's really important that, you know, those teams are here. They become a part of our identity, and I think for the whole state, not just for Milwaukee or the Milwaukee metro area.
Now, how are the politics doing in Glendale? Obviously, they've elected a fine mayor last couple terms, but, you know, when we cast that against a state map, how are the districts looking on the assembly, on the Senate side? It seems like the exurbs are shifting farther blue. How would you describe Glendale's politics?
Glendale's politics are really blue. We voted 75% for Tony Evers. We voted 73% for Joe Biden. So, I mean, and we've been trending more and more blue every election cycle. If you go back just to Obama's reelect in 2012, we were at 60% Democratic, and now we're at 75. But in terms of, like, our districts, I mean, we're gerrymandered into a very, very safe Democratic seat. I mean, a Republican didn't even run, and the Democratic performance in our assembly district is, like, 89%. So, I mean, we're gerrymandered into one of those seats, where Glendale is 75% is the most conservative part of that Democratic district.
And do you think, and obviously the recasting, the gerrymandered maps are in play or could be in play, could be either recast or go through the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and hell, we might see some impeachments and all other sorts of malfeasance. How do you think this area should be divided in terms of districting for representation? How would you like to see Glendale grouped? It would be nice if, you know, there was 60, 40, 55, 45. Wouldn't it be nice if there was at least a competitive race where a Republican felt comfortable at least throwing their hat in the ring?
I would actually like to see competitive districts all across the state. I think that you hold that we're able as voters to hold our elected officials accountable when they're really truly up for re-election every 2 years or every 4 years. So if we had 99 assembly districts where, you know, 80, 85 of them were always in play or you know, even close to being in play, we would see essentially waves back and forth, yeah. Not just one party controlling everything because they drew the boundaries. I really think this is a state that continues to be purple, although at the state level we're trending more and more blue. But, I mean, we really do need districts that are competitive, as many of them that can be competitive as possible when you draw the maps. And we don't have that now. Even Tony Evers tried, but even his gave the Republicans, what, 53 or 54 seat majority. I mean, what it would involve is really slicing and dicing a lot of communities in order to be able to get to a lot of 50-50 districts.
And that's not the intent. The intent is to keep communities intact and contiguous.
Right.
So let's assume we do that. There is something of a geographic advantage. If you look at the maps and you use real math, there's still going to be an advantage to Republicans. It just wouldn't be overwhelming. When you saw a big pendulum, a swing blue election, the Democrats might win the assembly or might win the Senate. And that's a foregone conclusion under current circumstances, Brian.
So the real redrawing would take place in the suburbs and in the exurbs. I mean, if you look at Milwaukee County, they're pretty much all blue districts except for a couple down around Franklin Oak Creek, right? Everything would be pretty much blue in the county. You go out to the really rural areas, they're going to be red. But you have places that are trending more and more blue. Like, I think by 2028, Ozaukee County is going to vote for the Democrat for president. I mean, if you look at the way that county is trending, it's trending more and more Democratic. You had Mequon, you had Thiensville, you had Cedarburg. They all voted for Joe Biden, granted by very slim margins, but they voted for Biden. The southern half of that county is trending more and more blue. And so drawing boundaries that would actually allow for really more competitive districts in the suburbs and the exurbs would really give many more voters a real choice when they go to vote, which we don't have right now.
Mayor Brian Kennedy from Glendale, our fine guest here at the table. Brian, I've been a big fan of the Main Street Bounce Back Grants, and I have had the opportunity to travel around the state of Wisconsin over the last year and look at a lot of commercial real estate on behalf of our company, Civic Media. And there's a lot of competition out there, meaning these bounce back grants brought a lot of little businesses out of their basement, out of their garage, and put them on Main Street. And I think so many of the main streets in this state are vibrant right now. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about it on a political level. But, Brian, what's your experience been here in Glendale?
So we have not really had, because I mean, you have to work with the municipality and get support from the municipality, letters of support.
Yep.
We haven't really been asked to do those for a lot of our businesses.
Hmm.
But I do think it's important, especially when you look at the downturn after the pandemic, when so many people went home, leaving just millions of square feet of office space vacant in the region. I think it's really important to help, as people go back into the office, as they reopen storefronts, to give them some incentive and some help to make sure that they're not just going to rely on everything being done at a computer, but actually renting the space that's been built already.
Brian, do you envision sort of, I guess we all have to start envisioning different workplaces going forward. We were in the radio industry, obviously, and when the pandemic hit, we sent guys home, and guys like Matt Flynn never came back, meaning they still work from home. There's no reason to bring them into a communal space. The technology has just changed how we do business. Brian, do you envision companies in Glendale are going to be pulling 100 employees, 500 employees together in an office in the near future? Or does that seem like a thing of the past, sir?
I mean, my experience here, Johnson Controls is building an expansion on their campus to bring another 300 people and to bring their research division from downtown Milwaukee to Glendale to add to the 1,300 that are already here. So, yes, many of them still work remotely, but there's still a need for them to have additional space. There are things that are lost. You can work primarily from home, but the face-to-face meetings, some of just the person-to-person contact, other ideas, other things happen when people work together in a workplace. I'm a big fan of the hybrid workplace where you get a couple of days in the office, and maybe two or three days at home. It allows people a lot more flexibility.
What you call it, Tom, a hybrid workplace you've been doing all these years.
Yeah.
Brian, you talk about governance and what the city of Glendale has been doing in the construction. These are like the basics, I would consider of governance. And we see on the national level, and certainly even on the state level, lots of animosity between different political parties. And you're a political guy. You ran for the chair of the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin once upon a time. Is that bleeding down to the local level as far as you're concerned?
So we do have a really progressive common council here, but I've always said that one of the beauties of local government is that there is no Democratic way to pave a road and there's no Republican way to pick up garbage. We are dealing with everyday issues that impact people's lives on a very personal level. If your garbage doesn't get picked up and it's stinking right out there in front of your house, then you're going to call your alderman and you're going to complain.
I'm going to call the mayor,
man. You're going to call the mayor, you're going to complain. That's right. And so we're dealing with those kind of issues. But we have actually, as a city, when we adopted the Paris Agreement. We demolished and rebuilt our city hall to be a LEED certified, energy efficient building. We had MMSD help us do all the green infrastructure landscaping for the city campus. So, I mean, we're pushing an agenda. And it's that one might say is a little more progressive or more left-leaning on some areas. But on a lot of the stuff, it's just making sure that people have the services they need.
The basics.
The basics, yep.
Brian Kennedy, our agenda, Oktoberfest and beer and then Packers.
Yep.
I appreciate
tell
it,
all
beer.
Your friends to come out to Oktoberfest. It's going for two more weekends. Tell them to come spend their money in Glendale.
Absolutely.
Right down here at the Bavarian Beer House. We'll buy you a beer. Come on down. First ones on Crudy. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open 844-96-PARTY.
Thanks, Brian.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 50s. More sunshine than clouds for tomorrow and warming up to the upper 70s for the high as the wind picks up. We climb into the low 80s Saturday, slight chance of showers and storms, more sun and mid-80s and breezy Sunday. Currently, it's 66.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else. Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show is next in for Maggie Anya. She's sticking around. Maggie is gone today. Anya's filling in her absence, talking about the youth vote with actual youths. The Utes of America, Anya, filling in for Maggie at 6 o'clock.
Does that mean Maggie Dawn's coming down here to have a couple of cold ones at the Bavarian Beer House?
Perhaps.
We are in Glendale. We've got the Glendale mayor. He is Brian Kendi here at the table. Just a few more minutes because we've only got a few more minutes. Then it's time to get ready for a Packer game. Packers kicking off 7:15 p.m. against the Detroit Lions. You can listen on WRJN 1400 AM and then come on out and watch the game here with us at the Bavarian Beer House. Politics, then Packers. Brian, appreciate you sticking around. Brewers just won 3-0. Welcome, Brewers fans, tuning in.
Yes.
Brian, first and foremost, you're a Packers fan, right?
Absolutely.
That guy's not. Come on.
I'm a Packers fan unless they're playing the Lions. You know how it works.
I'm just shaking my head. I don't know. I got nothing to say to you.
I was born in Livonia, man. You know, it's in the blood.
Yeah, he thinks he's on the 8 Mile. Oh, my.
Yeah. No, I'm a Packers fan. I was at the game, actually, on Sunday up in Green Bay.
Brian, will the power stay on here in Glendale for the game? I hear we've had some issues with power staying on.
Yeah, so we're actually, it's funny you bring that up. We're actually the first municipality in the state to ever sue an electric company or one of the utilities for failure to provide adequate service. We had, just in the month of July, we had 11 power outages in the city of Glendale. Some of them as short as like 30 seconds, but one of them lasted for 2 days.
Oh.
It's become such a regular thing that we have hundreds of homeowners that have bought the whole home generators. There's like 10 grand. People gone out and bought those because the electricity is so unreliable. So, yeah, we did. We sued We Energies at the Public Service Commission. We're waiting on scheduling of a hearing. But there's been a ton of discovery. And what we're basically saying is, unlike most of the other utilities around the country that are getting 4 and 5% return on investment every year, they're getting 10 to 15% at We Energies. It's one of the best investments you can make if you invest in utility stocks. And what they're not doing is investing in the infrastructure. When you have, they keep blaming on trees. I mean, three times they blamed it on a Mylar balloon. I'm like, how many kids' birthday parties are there? The Mylar balloons are escaping.
What is this, Glendale, Texas?
No, but it's not just here. It goes all the way up into Ozaukee County. I mean, this whole region, the whole North Shore, we're losing power all the time. In Glendale, we basically said, we're done. We're tired of hearing your excuses. And so we filed a complaint on behalf of all of our residents. And after we did, we had several hundred residents go on the website and file their own complaints. So now they've all been lumped together. But, I mean, we got the attention of We Energies. I mean, they're talking now about significant infrastructure improvements in the entire North Shore region. And, you know, the Public Service Commission, they've never had a case like this before. So they agreed to move it on to a hearing.
And Glendale Mayor Brian Kendi, what's quote-unquote justice look like? Is it the remedy? Is it the investment?
What's
is
the redress?
The outcome?
Right.
Or you know, how do you get reimbursement for the groceries that went bad in the fridge?
Right. I mean, they don't reimburse for those things, right? What we want to see is significant investment in infrastructure, but durable infrastructure. You know, if you look around the world, metro areas the size of Milwaukee and like all over Europe, they all have buried lines. Yeah. And here they're all above ground.
Yes.
Why? We have terrible weather here a big chunk of the year, right? It gets really, really cold. We've got violent storms in the summertime with high winds, you know, and heavy rain.
We're radio guys. You're not telling us anything we don't know.
Right, right.
Add high towers into that mix.
Right. And so why aren't they building an infrastructure that's meant for a cold climate like this that gets a lot of more frequent and more violent storms? And, you know, somebody's got to stand up to them. And so we're the small little community that could. We're going to stand up to them and say, you got to start investing in the infrastructure again.
Sorry to interrupt, Mayor. Is it your suspicion that it's just simply we want a greater profit margin? We don't want the higher infrastructure investment because that's your problem.
Well, I mean, that is the premise of capitalism, right? Anything you invest in, you want to make money on. And I think that's really what it comes down to. So many of their peers around the country are getting 4% and 5% profit margins, and here it's 10 to 15.
Sorry, I'm in radio. I'm really bad at capitalism, Brian.
Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale, Wisconsin, our fine guest for just a couple minutes, of course, leading up to the Packer game today. Obviously, you said you're a Packer fan. I saw the line when I started today. Packers are getting 2 points. They're home underdogs when the Detroit Lions are coming to town. A prediction, sir? Do you have a prediction for tonight's game?
You know, I wondered about that game on Sunday when I was there, and the first half was not looking pretty.
No, not at all.
But you know what? I think they're scrappy. I think they've got a great team. It's a young team, but watching them come together and really figure things out, and they came back and won. And so I'm going to say the Packers are going to win, but it'll probably be close again. They've had two really close games already, so I'm going to say the Packers have won.
Lots of injuries. Don't know if you heard. Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Director, said Bakhtiari is out.
Ooh. 4 weeks. He's on the IR now. They benched him for 4 weeks.
And not clear on the wide receivers. What's his name, Watson?
Watson is participating, our understanding. Less clear on Jair Alexander, but it sounded like Jones and Watson were going to participate tonight.
Does that change your math at all?
No, I'm still sticking with the Packers.
Still, no matter what.
Put it this way, I don't own a Lions jersey. I only own Packers apparel, so. No.
Dom, show him the tattoo.
Oh, we got the Detroit D, man, you know. It's not a Lions, Detroit Lions, though, but I do love the Lions. I love the sports.
We'll hold them down with some sandpaper later, bro.
I do. You know, that's the thing. Sports are fun. It's so we can rib each other. And politics. A lot of people think are sports. You know what I'm saying?
And that blood sport.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's, you know, these are things that matter. You know, when you're talking about providing the basic services, when you're talking about, you know, what is important and setting the priorities for the community and hell, people even actually having a responsive government, a representative government. When we don't have that, when you have a minority that has the influence over the majority, which I think is what happens with gerrymandering, it makes it a whole lot worse. It becomes, you know, the fun of politics, the sport of politics, it becomes a lot angrier, in my opinion.
I would absolutely agree. Yeah. I mean, we see essentially those who are from the Republican Party further on the right and those from the Democratic Party further on the left.
Right.
And I think the real work happens. If you look historically, all the big stuff that's happened, you know, we built an interstate highway system because Democrats and Republicans got together, figured out how to pay for it because it became a priority they both believed
in.
The
infrastructure bill under Joe Biden passed.
Right, bipartisan infrastructure bill. Exactly. It's those kind of things. We need to start coming together and figuring out how we get to yes instead of, you know, I got my faction, you got your faction, and I don't see that happening. With these gerrymandered districts. I mean, Congress just fights with each other, the state legislature, same thing.
Brian Kinney, local knowledge. Good late night eats in Glendale.
We don't have a lot of places that stay open really late. That's part of the problem.
I'm thinking like 10:30 after the Packer game.
Oh, and pretty much everything's still open until 10 or 10:30. So I would say best shot would be go over to the Brick.
Well, maybe I'll eat here at the Bavarian Beer House, where we're partying for the Packers. Politics.
I see Taco Bell drive-thru in Crudy's future.
The politics, it's done. The Packer game, it's in our near future. Mayor Brian Kennedy, thanks for joining us here. You folks, you're allowed to flip the channel now. Yeah. WRJN, 1400 AM, got your Packer pregame. Or Maggie Dawn, keep it here.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Ooh.